I think we started as helpers back in 2013 timeframe, so it's been a few years now, and we've been leading the ministry for a few years. I forgot I had my own clicker. I was really waiting for you to click. So that's me. This is the opening session. So what I want to talk about is an idea that I have with children's ministry that I think is often missed, and I called this the threefold cord of children's ministry because, as you guys know, in Ecclesiastes, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So this is, in my eyes, this is how a children's ministry should operate in the way that we should see a children's ministry. So, and it starts with the people. So the people that a children's ministry should be identifying or seeing is not just the children. It's pupils, which would be the children, and then parents and peers. Because we have people that labor alongside of us in the ministry, and then we have parents of these children. So this is the first cord of this threefold cord, is the pupils, the parents, and the peers. So if we don't see this ministry as a whole and how it intertwines with the church through this lens, then it's not going to be effective for God's glory. Because it needs to be through these three things. Because every child has a parent, and every parent can potentially be a peer of ours that we invest in and as a member of the church. The second thing is the process. So we have the people, and then we have the process. Now, I will elaborate on this a little bit, and I have more that I didn't have time to get into the PowerPoint. So for each of these, this is for our peers, is we have this process of a helper, an assistant, a teacher, and a leader. Now, not to confuse any of you, the assistant teacher is kind of the same thing. So the way I look at that is I was Army, and I was in the Army for many years, so you have certain ranks, for example, a first sergeant or a sergeant major. There's a command sergeant major or there is a sergeant major. Same rank, different responsibility. One's in command, one is not. So one is there and is in authority, but he's not commanding. So the assistant teacher, your ability is the same, but you're operating in a different role at that time. So one's teaching, one's assisting. So really you have helper, teacher, leader is the process. So this is the process that we would desire all of you guys to progress through in your walk with the Lord, is that you come into the room as a helper, and then you advance to be able to teach the word to the children, and then eventually you are leading a ministry, leading a classroom, or in some capacity in the ministry you're leading. So that's our desire for you. Now, not everyone is going to, obviously, some people will stay in certain roles, and as God works through your life, he'll show you where he wants you to be, and that's fine. But this is just a process that we want to have in place for you guys in the ministry. Now, also, we have, this isn't on there, but for pupils, you can go from a pupil to an apprentice and then to a master. Obviously, you guys know an apprentice eventually becomes the master, and that's our desire for the children, is that they would start as pupils. We're teaching them, we're investing in them, and then they move on to an apprentice. These are kids that go up to the youth, and eventually the youth can even potentially help with the younger kids and invest in them and get their teeth cut with teaching, and then eventually they will be the ones leading the church and leading the ministry. Because it's my desire that at least one out of this entire group of roughly 50 kids we have on a Sunday will eventually lead this ministry. So, and I want to provide a structure for them to be able to do that. So you have a pupil, an apprentice, and then a master. So that's the process for the children. And then finally for the parents. The parents are going to progress through this process from being a stranger to being a friend and to being a brother or a sister. And that's the process that I think we should be seeing with these parents, is we should be engaging with them. Most of them are most likely going to be strangers to us, especially if we're always working in the ministry. We won't see them as much. But we need to make an effort to engage with them and take them from being a stranger to a friend, and so we can get them from a friend to a brother. Because those that are locked arms with us are our brothers and sisters in the ministry. And obviously, it's our desire. You know, you see in Colossians 1 that we present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And it's our desire to see everyone presented perfect. So through the pupils, the peers, and the parents, you can see these processes. And if you guys need it later, I can send it to you. But you guys have notes, so you can write it down. But we had the pupil, apprentice, and master. And then we have, for peers, the helper, assistant teacher, and then the leader. And then with parents, we have stranger, friend, to brother. So that's our desire with the process of this that is a part of the children's ministry. So, and then there's the purpose. So you have the people, the process, and the purpose. So our purpose, as you can read here, it says to provide an exciting, engaging, and edifying discipleship environment for children to grow in understanding of the Word of God, to find their place in the kingdom of God, and to develop a heart for those without God. So that is my desire with the children's ministry, is that we would provide an environment for them to grow, that they would eventually grow in understanding of the Word of God, that they would find their place in the kingdom of God. Because every one of these children need to see that they have a place in the operation of what God is doing. And it goes through his church. So, and then that they can develop a heart for those without God. This is something we're implementing this summer in Fun in the Sun. We're teaching through a curriculum on Fun in the Sun. And if any of you want to latch onto that and help us out in that, that would be fantastic. And, oh, I'm going too fast. My wife is telling me I'm going too fast. I do get a little fast talking, so tell me to slow down. Just throw it out there if you need me to. So, and then for those without God. So we're teaching through a curriculum that we have acquired from First Bible International, and it is called the 1040 Window. So it's giving the children an eye and a heart for and a mind for the unreached people groups of the world. So 60% of the world's population is in that 1040 window. So that means 60% of the world, over half of the world, is unreached. And a lot of them are also unengaged, which means there's nobody that's actually developing themselves to go and reach those people. And that means they don't have a language, that they don't have a written language. A lot of them don't. We're teaching on the Damari people of Egypt right now. They don't have a written language, so they don't have a Bible because they don't have a written language, and they have nobody seeking to reach them. So that's our heart for the children, is that they would have a heart for God's word and his kingdom, and also a heart for the world so that they can reach the world with his word. So that's the purpose with the pupils. And then we have the purpose through the parents. So we want to connect parents to the heartbeat of the church, providing exhortation, encouragement, and experience in the process of discipling their children. A lot of times parents do end up working in the children's ministry alongside their own children. My desire is that wouldn't just stop when their kids move out of the ministry, but they would see the need for investing their lives in multiple children in the church, because we are one body. Oftentimes that is a pattern, is parents will stay in the ministry while their kids are there, and then they move on when their kids move on, and then the ministry is left with a hole. But there's still more children cycling through. There's always more kids to invest in, and there is a huge purpose behind mentorship in a child's life that I think we can do. So we want to connect parents to the heartbeat. I was thinking about this in the sense of our body, because this is the body of Christ, and you look at arteries and veins. Arteries take blood from the heart, and veins return it to the heart. But that's what we need to be doing, is connecting them to the artery, because I believe that the children's ministry is an artery of the church. It is taking what we're getting and it's pumping blood into the children's ministry, because it is a main. If you cut an artery, you'll bleed out unless you put a tourniquet on it. So if you cut off the children's ministry, there's lots of statistics and studies that show that a church will not grow. It is an essential aspect of the children's ministry, because it's the entire next generation. I mean, we're in the age where you see dying churches everywhere. I don't know how many people I know, like, oh, I'm a pastor, and like, we have 10 in our congregation. It's like, that's a Bible study, really, is what it is. So, and it's not getting anything done. Because if you're not being effective for the kingdom of God, then you're not really operating as a local New Testament church, really. So that's for the parents. We want to connect into that. And then finally, for the peers, for you guys. So our desire is to strengthen the fellowship of believers by edifying, exercising, and engaging each other in the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of the word of God to be better ministers of God's grace. So that is our hope with getting in the ministry and leading the ministry, is that you would get better at reading, teaching, and preaching the word, because there's no better place to cut your teeth than with children. If you can teach a child, you can teach an adult. And I don't know how many missionaries, pastors I've talked to, they always end up saying, oh yeah, we started in the children's ministry years ago. And I know for my sake, it really helps you see how you're, and you can, I mean, kids are flexible. You can kind of cut, you know, work yourself out and figure out different teaching styles that suits you through teaching children. They're a little bit more forgiving than adults. They don't really know what, they're just there to learn, and they don't really know what's going on. So it's a good place to get situated in yourself and what God has for you, so that you can be a better minister of God's grace. Because if you, like I said, if you can take it down to a child's level with metaphors and analogies and whatever way that you can connect it to their life, then you'll be able to connect any story to anybody. So, and that is essential for us. So that's what I consider the threefold cord of children's ministry. And I think if we do those three things and we have a heart and a vision for those three things, I think our children's ministry will thrive. And that's kind of in the sense, as you guys know, we call it the Kingdom Seekers Ministry. It's not called, you know, Kingdom Kids anymore, which is a good name. It's not called any of these kid things. And a lot of people might be confused, but we have it kid friendly, because it's not just kids that we're focused on. If we're not focused on the discipleship of everybody involved in this ministry, and the peers, the parents, and the children, then it won't be effective. So it's my desire that we kind of take that mentality of we're just here to sit and watch kids and just to hang out with them while their parents get poured into. We're not actually helping the parents pour a foundation for them. Because as anybody knows, if you pour a foundation with concrete, you have to have multiple different things. You have to have sand and cement and water. You have to have all these things to make it settle properly. Otherwise, it'll start to break down over time, which is kind of what we're seeing in our world today, is these foundations weren't set properly. So on to new business. So that is my heart and kind of my desire for the children's ministry, and hopefully you guys can connect with that and grow with us in that. So new business I want to cover, let me get this whiteboard, is ministry huddles. So this is where you guys come into play. So this is some stuff that I've been really noodling on, a lot of it since the Vision Conference, but how we can better steward the children's ministry. So ministry huddles. As you guys know, in a huddle, if you're playing sports, you huddle up, you kind of get your plan together, and then you move out from there and execute on that. So don't read that too much right now. We'll talk about it in a second. But I want to talk about my kind of my philosophy behind these ministry huddles. So and if you can't see this, let me know, and I'll kind of shift it around. But as you guys know, I was in the Army, and so the strongest shape of all the shapes is a triangle. And so when we would go out on patrol, we would set up what was called a patrol base. Now, this could also be called a rally point, and that's kind of my heart behind these, is that this would be a rally point. A rally point is a place that is away enough from the enemy that you can't be seen, but where you're close enough that you can still engage in the battle. And it's where you can come back, you set rally points. Out on patrol, you do this motion and you point, and that's your rally point. And everybody sees that. So if everything kind of gets crazy, everybody rallies back to here, we regroup, we move out again. And that's kind of the point of it. But there's three things that every church should be engaged in, and it's discipleship, evangelism, and missions. And that's something we should be thinking about when we're in the children's ministry with the parents, the peers, and the pupils, is evangelism, discipleship, and missions. Now, the thing with a patrol base is you set up people doing security. And what we called this was intersecting sectors of fire. Intersecting sectors of fire just means that when you're set up, where I can see intersects with where you can see, so that there's no gaps where the enemy can sneak in. That makes sense. It's that's what you want. You want to make sure you cover all the ground. So we need to make sure that we are intersecting discipleship and evangelism, and also with missions. And we need to find a way that we can implement that into the ministry and the way we teach. And the cool thing is, I wasn't going to talk about this, but we had a formation shape. So when we'd walk, oh, my apologies. So, red works. Good call. So, you'd move out in a wedge formation. So, you'd have the leader in the front. If you guys also know a flying V, if you've seen the Mighty Ducks or if you watch geese fly, they fly in a V. We would move out in a wedge formation. And if you take this patrol base and you move it out in a wedge formation, the mission falls off. Why? Because you're on mission. Because this is a mission. Because the ministry, like if you guys heard Randy at the Vision Conference, ministry is missions and missions is ministry and ministry is missions. It's the same. So we need to be focused on discipling and evangelizing so we can reach the parents if they're lost, and we can also reach the children and then develop them in that. So what we're doing with this philosophy is we want to do monthly huddles and weekly huddles. So the monthly huddles, and this will take time of ours, but it'll take investment and sacrifice to see this accomplished well. So everyone in the ministry will meet monthly. First Sunday of every month, we'll get together. Every classroom will have a meeting with all teachers and helpers. And we'll discuss any issues we have in the ministry, any concerns that we have, anything that's going on that we need to discuss. Because a lot of times, we don't get to talk about this stuff. Because that's the one thing that is a detriment to the children's ministry, is a lot of times, we don't have a lot of people with us while we're in there. It's like individual in the sense, you know, it's a group thing, but it's individual in the operation. So, we will discuss any issues, and then we'll recognize and celebrate teacher birthdays and accomplishments. So, we want to celebrate you guys as well. So, we want to have things about you guys that we can celebrate, whether it's birthdays, and we can do all that. And then we also want to pray over the ministry. So we want to get together monthly and specifically pray for this ministry. Because if we are not taking the time to pray, you know, God's not going to answer our prayers because there are none. So we need to make sure we're praying over the ministry. And then weekly. I know it sounds like a lot, but it's really not going to be too bad. So anyone serving that Sunday, so say it's tomorrow. So say, I can't remember what date we picked to implement this, but it's not tomorrow. So, but when we implement this in the next month or so, so anyone serving on that specific Sunday, so say you're serving tomorrow, both 9 o'clock and 10:30 teachers and helpers will get together. They're going to pray over the students and each other and to prepare our hearts to be focused on discipleship and evangelism for that day and specific concerns. It'll start at 8:40 a.m. So if you come to ABFs, just get here a little bit early. And it is our desire, it's not a requirement, that every person who works in the ministry would be a part of an ABF, because oftentimes you're teaching during either the 10:30 or the 9 o'clock. So we want to make sure you're getting invested in at least one class, whether it's ABF or main service, every week. And so that you're prepared to pour out to the children. Because if you're not getting poured into, you have nothing to pour out. So 8:40, be about 20 minutes. We might have a short little quick word of devotion. That's something that I have desired for, to help people to grow. And there's three ways that this is something I told my disciples. There's three ways that we can grow and that others can grow from what we do. Anyone want to try to guess what those three ways are? No? What was that? So sharing your testimony, giving a devotion, and sharing the gospel. All three of those things will grow you and will grow others. So it's essential, I think, that we get together, and anytime we're together in fellowship, the word is opened. Because if we're not opening the word, we're not fellowshipping together with the word. So that is our structure for that. So we want to pray over the students, 8:40, and the location will be in the Rally Point room, so formerly known as the closed room. I'm done with the closed room. It's not closed room anymore. We haven't had the staffing enough to open that classroom in a long time, but I think God's kind of laid it out to where this formation of how we have things is going to work, but it gives us a room that we can go to. It's already in the E-wing. It's not somewhere else in the church we got to run off to. It's already there, so we get together. I just hit a button. It's already there. We can get together. We rally together. We get engaged, and we move out. So that is the purpose behind these huddles. So seriously pray about getting here early. This is a this has been a recurring thing in HBF. A lot of us are notoriously late. But we seriously need to have a heart for these children and getting things prepared for them. So also, what I did want to talk about, and I forgot to write it down, so forgive me, I don't have my Bible with me. I forgot it at home. Yeah, I know, right? Well, thankfully, the Lord has provided a digital means, which I can pull this up. So my concept with these huddles is to set a hedge around the children's ministry. And what I really like about that is, does anybody know the first mention of hedge in the Bible? It's in Job. So it's when Satan accuses him, and he accuses God. He said, hast thou not, this is in Job 1:10, hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So that's my desire through this process, that the work of our hands is blessed and the substance is increased in the land. So that happened with Job because God had a hedge around him and protected him. So it's my desire that we would set a hedge of protection around the children's ministry every week. Because like if you guys were here for the shield ceremony, the enemy wants to attack these children. I mean, all of us can, I'm sure, recollect times in our childhood where things were just exposed to us. We were exposed to things. We struggled with things. And they need to be prepared for the battle because the enemy's going to take them out. And we've seen that firsthand. We've seen the fruit of that. So it's my desire. So Job 1:10 is that reference if you were writing that down. But we need to set a hedge of protection around this ministry. So that's my heart behind it. So we have the huddles. Classroom helpers. This is something we used to do. This is how Jody and I got started in the ministry. And so the requirements for a classroom helper is a member in good standing, complete the application and background check. Obviously, everybody has to have a background check to work in the children's ministry. And then the duties are restroom, drink breaks, maintaining order, passing out snacks, trying to keep things flowing so that the teacher doesn't have to stop. And if the assistant is helping to set up an object lesson or whatever, they can do that. Well, because if you guys have worked in there, especially with like TNT, Fun in the Sun, and Mighty Warriors, it's, I have to go to the bathroom. I have to go to the bathroom. I have to do this. I'm thirsty. Can we have a drink? They can go do all that stuff. And they can keep that from disrupting class, which gets us behind, and then we're finishing up late. So invite your friends, invite your disciples, and fellow ABF attendees. This is a way to get people into the ministry and get them operating and seeing how we do things, to see our heart for the ministry without giving them any like hard responsibility where they're too scared. Like, I don't want to teach. And some of you in here may be that way. You might not be ready to teach the word to anybody, but that is what we're supposed to do. Because in Colossians 1, it says that we are to teach and warn every man to present them perfect. We need to teach and warn. And we're warning children and teaching children. So it is our desire that you would develop in that so you can teach the word. And so like I said, friends, disciples, anybody that's a regular or a member in good standing, they need to be a member and that they have a background check. So if you say, hey, just come help us. So if you're a couple that has a friend that's in an ABF that doesn't do anything or that is involved in not involved in the children's ministry was what I mean, just say, hey, why don't you come help us? Like you can get the water for us. You can run to the kitchen, go get water. You can get snacks and they can kind of see. And then eventually, hopefully they will become an assistant and a teacher and a leader. So that's our desire in that process is that we have these helpers that can help because as you guys know, we've been short-staffed for a long time. We need help, so and it would be good to have an extra hand. We've learned, Mickey's right there, she's been helping us on Wednesday nights, and since we implemented that, having a third person is amazing. Like, it really does help the flow of the room. So that's the other new thing is classroom helpers. The third thing is a cleaning team and a decor team. So this is something we've wanted for a long time, and it really needs to happen. Our church building is getting old and needing cleaned and maintained, and it's been neglected sometimes. So cleaning team does deep cleaning all classrooms quarterly. That's toys, sanitizing surfaces, carpet cleaning, seedlings and sunbeams specifically because you have crawlers in there and the carpet gets nasty. So that's what that's for. Also, sanitation as needed. So we have had times in the past, for example, the big one is hand, foot, and mouth disease. If you know what hand, foot, and mouth is, highly contagious. Kids spread it all over each other and it gets crazy. So it can get bad too. So anytime that happens, we notify the parents that somebody in the classroom was exposed and we go and sanitize everything. So, but it is a lot of work. When it's just like me and Jody or Chris and Lauren that show up, it's a lot of work for us. So if we had four or five people that showed up, then it could make things go a lot quicker. It'd be like a 45-minute process. We're all done. We go about our day. And so that's as needed, obviously. So our first meeting for this is going to be June 12th. So that's in a week. So if you want to sign up for that, there's going to be a sign-up sheet out here on the connections counter right past the check-in. There's a little sign that says sign up. Sign up for the cleaning team and then the decor team. The bulletin boards often get neglected. As Jody and Mickey can both attest, the bulletin boards take a lot of work. Obviously, many hands make for light work. So if we can have some help, we want to focus more on the hallway one, and then if we can get to the classroom ones or the teachers can kind of do with that. But the hallway one often gets neglected, and often it'll be the snowman in the summertime because we just get so busy that it's hard to keep up with it. So, and miscellaneous seasonal decor. It would be cool to have more of a decor in the hallway and kind of get it warmer for the kids so it's not just gray walls and carpet, and we just show up and, you know, drill the Bible into them all day long. So, and then the first meeting for this is Sunday, June 26th. So both of these meetings are coming up. Both sign-out sheets are out there on the connections counter. Please sign up for those and help us out if you could. I think this would be a great thing to help us maintain the ministry. Yes, ma'am. After church, I'm not sure what time we didn't, right after church. Yes, we're going to do some praise. I forgot. I got so focused on everybody showing up. We were going to do some praise. So if everybody could stand up, stand behind your chair, this is how we do it in the classroom. So we're going to do some praise. Now, keep in, am I supposed to announce that part yet? I'm looking for participation. Just keep that in mind. There may be something in store for those who participate. So we have every child participate in praise. They have to stand up. They have to sing. Well, if they don't want to sing, sometimes we don't make them. But we encourage it. It's highly encouraged. So we're going to do some praise. We got three songs. All are super fun. This first one is kind of like we've developed it into our theme song for the Kingdom Seekers. Because if you know Casting Crowns' new album, that's what it talks about. So we can just kick off praise.
Who builds a boat with no clouds in sight? Who walks up to a giant and picks a fight? Who turns a lion's den into a petting zoo? Who can have church in a fiery furnace? Well, I'll tell you who. Crazy people trust in Jesus, following him wherever he leads us. Kingdom seekers, walk by faith. Here's the church, here's the steeple, here's to all God's crazy people. Who brings a Bible into a public school? Who shares a gospel even when the world calls them a fool? And who's not afraid to go against the flow? Will cancel me and call me one of those, 'cause I'm one of those crazy people. Trust in Jesus, following him wherever he leads us. Kingdom seekers, walk by faith believers. Here's the church, here's the steeple, here's to all God's crazy people. I'm one of those crazy people who sees the world as a mission field, who talks to Jesus like he's real, words in red, crazy. Who says he's coming back again, crazy. Crazy people trust in Jesus, following him wherever he leads us. Kingdom seekers, walk by faith believers. Here's the church, here's the steeple, here's the all God's crazy people.
king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. Have you heard the story about my friend King Dave? Wouldn't let the giant stand in his way. He said, hand me my sling, 'cause he's not that tall. My God is bigger and I watch him fall. My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. Have you heard the one about this guy called Dan? Yes, he was a mighty holy praying man. They said, throw him to the den of the scary beast. But God saved a hero from the lion's teeth. Yeah! My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. History, you will do the same for me, like Jonah and the whale at sea. When I'm lost and afraid, all alone in the dark, you're with me. Oh, you're with me. My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king of the lions. My God's the king of the creatures of the deep. My God's the king of me. My God's the king of the giants. My God's the king. King of me.
So, sorry they were so quiet. No, I know everybody likes to sing when it's really quiet, but we didn't know that was going to happen, so it's no big deal. Maybe we'll break out the Bluetooth speaker. It's a little louder. And so, as we go on, so good job praising. That was supposed to be at the beginning, but I forgot to print the order of service, so I forgot. So, my apologies. That happens in class sometimes, too. So, we have some workshops you guys are going to rotate through as groups, as with your classes. So, one of the workshops you will go to is going to be led by Jeremy and Annabeth Bonison. And that'll be located in the Mighty Warriors room. The Mighty Warriors room is the corner room over here down the hallway in the elementary wing. So you'll find that. It's the last classroom you'll come to. So that's the first workshop. The second one is with Chris and Lauren Cohen. It'll be on lesson prep and teaching. This will be in the Armor Bearers room, which is the classroom just before the Mighty Warriors. If you go out here, it's just kind of right to the right a little bit. So that'll be in that classroom. And then we'll have safety, security, and policy, the fun class. Get a mark. So it'll be Mark Lockwood teaching that, and that'll be in the Berean classroom. So that's right over here down this hallway. And then it'll be fun and engagement with Jody and I right here in the sanctuary. So as you will see in your pamphlet, it has the rotations on what classes will go where. And so that is where you will be for those workshops. And then we will have lunch. As you'll see on the schedule, we will have lunch. I can't remember the exact time. I didn't look through that before I started. I think it's around noonish. We'll have an hour lunch. Also, there's a five-minute kind of window of opportunity going to workshop to go use the restroom, go get a snack, do whatever you need to real fast. Just, I didn't really work in breaks, but I had them as part of that 45 minutes. I forgot, we are doing a drawing. Oh, giveaway. So I got to click the button. So we're going to do a giveaway. So we have three awesome prizes up here that you guys can get. Pat Lee. So, you can take your pick of a book and a gift card. Book and a gift card. So we'll have two more drawings today, and we'll have a few giveaways later. If you have acute eyes, you have seen there's some stuff up here for you guys. So, with that, I'll ask this question. I was asked this in class. What's the first thing we should always do before we get into the Word? Mark, will you pray for us?